Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Jay Van Landingham via Skype in Cincinnati, Ohio. After the break, we'll be joined by Priya Acharya in Denver, Colorado. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews with vegans locally, nationally, and internationally to promote health and freedom for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. Let's start out this program with this beautiful song, To Be Free, by Will Tuttle. Jay is a great vegan author, and we'll be talking about his book, The Sentient. Welcome, Jay, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
This is, and I have to say that I really enjoyed reading Sentient. So could you please share with us a little details about Sentient?
Yeah, absolutely. Sentient basically is an eco-dystopian novel. It's a part of a series, so it's the first of three books, and it is about agribusiness and basically what would happen if an agribusiness monopoly had control over our food and our water system. And as a result, in this book in particular, of course it's fiction, but it follows three characters who are very unique and who are negatively impacted by this particular corporation. And one of those characters is an animal empath. Her name is Bray, and she's very young, and she has this ability to communicate with animals and also experience what they are feeling. So she connects with a pig on a factory farm who is only days away from slaughter. And what Bray learns is that if something happens to this pig, it's a friend of hers named Alice, which is what you'll see on the front cover of the book, is a silhouette of Alice. Something may also happen to Bray, meaning if Alice goes to slaughter, there's this chance that Bray may as well. But even more so, Bray has this desire, of course, to save her friend. And then mixed in with that, there are some other characters as well. There's someone who is an undocumented immigrant who works in a slaughterhouse who's from Honduras. And then there's another character named Cage who is kind of a wannabe animal rights activist. But there's a lot in this story. It goes back and forth. There's action. There's adventure. There's, you know, some dialogue about, you know, our communication with animals and what could be different if we were able to communicate with animals, I think is kind of one of the questions. But lots of suspense, horror, and I think an overall, what I hear is a very good book. So, you know, as the author, I can't always say that because it's coming from me, but it's something I hope people would really enjoy.
Thank you, Jay. It is a page-turner, for sure. And I'd love to hear more about you.
Yeah, so I live, as it was said, in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have been vegan for, July will be 10 years. I'll have my veganiversary, as they say, so that's very exciting. And I've lived in the Cincinnati area all my life. I've written stories ever since I was a kid. Since I was 7 years old is when I got into writing. And I have an undergrad degree in English from Northern Kentucky University. So I went, initially I went to school for writing because that's what I wanted to be. But then I my path kind of meandered around into social work. And for the past 13 years, I've been in the social work field. I'm currently a mental health therapist as well. So I'm very blessed. I have these two careers as both an author and a therapist, and I get to help people, and I get to help, you know, community members. And then I also, you know, get to write these books, and I'm very much into animal advocacy and animal rights. which is why I decided to write these books. Is it's kind of my it's my form of advocacy.
Thank you, Jay. And speaking of writing, I'd like to hear more about the Sentient Trilogy.
Oh, yes. So, as it was said, with this being a trilogy, Sentient, the first book was published last July, and the second book, which the title for that is coming very soon, will actually release in the fall. So I'm very excited about that as well, and it, you know, returns to some of the characters that were in the first book, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with everyone.
Thank you. And one of the topics in the book, Sentient, the first book of your trilogy series, was about the laboratory testing. Not just testing, manipulation, creations that's going on that's part of animal ag that I think a lot of people don't know about. Of course, we know a lot is secretive in the whole animal ag industry and all that. Yet, I was happy that you brought that awareness of what is going on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Wait for the second book.
Okay.
That's part of what I will say. Yeah, so, you know, of course, I'll say, you know, I'm certainly not an expert, but I do a lot of research. And, you know, first I'll say definitely wait for the second book, because this gets covered a lot more in the second book, again, without giving anything away. And yes, it is still fiction. However, it's really not, right? Because there are definitely enough research articles out there, science articles out there that talk about the use of animals for genetics, with DNA, more specifically what they call chimeras, which, for example, is the use of pigs with DNA, kind of inserting the DNA into the pigs in order to be able to utilize their organs, certain body parts. It, you know, it's just, we don't even know. I'm not even sure if we do know. It's like that just taps the surface of what they may be doing, or there may be in the future, with regard to, as long as we continue to use animals in every arena of our lives, then it's like all bets are off with also using them for not just, you know, testing, that's part of it, but also this next piece of using them for genetics.
Thank you, Jay. And what contact information can you leave with our listeners?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost, my website, it's jvanlandingham.com. I know that's very wordy because my name's very long, but also I'm on Instagram at jvanauthor. And then I'm also on Facebook. Again, just my name, Jay Van Landingham. You can search my author page. You can find all of my work on Amazon. So you can find Sentient on Amazon, and you can find me on Goodreads as well. So lots of places that you can contact me, you can reach out, or follow me would be great.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for your noble work, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We just heard from vegan author Jay Van Landingham. His book is Sentient. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our program. Much thanks to all our listeners, and much thanks for your vegan advocacy. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Priya Acharya via Skype in Denver, Colorado. Priya is a filmmaker, and we're going to be hearing about her upcoming webisode series called Do No Harm. Priya Acharya is a mother, ethical vegan, Living Green, Ahimsa Animal Activist, Author, Certified Mindfulness Teacher, Abuse Recovery Coach, and Storyteller. Her educational background includes a marketing MBA, psychology, writing, Asian studies, film and theater. She was born in India as a Rajasthani Brahmin Hindu and immigrated to the U.S. at 7. She has enjoyed being a storyteller for fundraising events. Welcome, Priya, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much for having me, Marlene.
I'm very honored, and I'm excited to hear about Do No Harm, your upcoming film.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to share. The mission of the Project Do No Harm webisode series is to leave a legacy appealing to our innate, compassionate nature to do no harm, bravely examining our history, traditions, culture, and paradoxes with dairy. So it's built upon my journey to India. So each of the webisode series will be about 5 minutes and do a deep dive into the dairy traditions, the paradox with Hinduism, and my personal vegan lifestyle choices and others. So these webisodes are the first step in my journey to expose the truth and create solutions moving forward through awareness, education, and bringing voices to Do No Harm communities.
Thank you, Priya.
The title has originated from is from the first precept to Do No Harm that I was asked to espouse as part of my mindfulness meditation teacher certification program. And I feel that it's very intertwined with being a vegan. And I don't think that we can really separate veganism from the concept of do no harm. I believe that is the premise of veganism. I did not feel like I could proceed to become a true mindfulness teacher without also deepening in my value of veganism.
Thank you, Priya. I would love it if you could ad lib more on that about how dairy consumption, dairy sales, may not be in the ethics of ahimsa, of do no harm.
It's not a part of ahimsa, which is nonviolence. Cows are impregnated and calves are killed. The male calves normally, immediately, and then the female cows are raised to produce milk, are, annually impregnated in terms of being able to produce milk. And when I was a vegetarian, I had not connected those dots, as I don't think many vegetarians have, because we're not made aware of that. We have some level of magical thinking that, milk is just there in the fridge, it's at the store. We don't really think too much beyond that. We know that it comes from cows, we're not made aware, I think, deliberately of how that process goes. There is this common, description that makes it seem like the cows happily give them. There's a lot of depiction in the media of happy cows. And then in India, there are, comments made that they give the milk to us, as if they're honoring us with the milk. And then there is cultural depictions, religious depictions of Krishna consuming milk, thereby justifying the consumption. So for me, my journey was that, I became vegan in 2017. Connecting some of the dots of harm, but I felt that we're more focused on the West. So I chose to be vegan. But I think there was a part of me as an Indian who perhaps had stereotypical thinking that cows are treated well in my motherland of India, which is the stereotype, right? And so I think for me that became part of a deepening with mindfulness of understanding and becoming more aware of the truth behind that. And part of that journey for me meant going back to my motherland after 15 years and being exposed to that truth.
Thank you, Priya, and for sharing that. And I like one of the quotes that I've seen on your sites, quote, "We must be a voice for the voiceless until their voices are heard," end quote. And I think that's very important. And so I hear a lot of people say, our factory farms are the problem. But when we look at what the industry is, which we've all just been indoctrinated into, it happens on all the farms. So, of course, in the vegan community, our wish is that all the dairy farmers will have resources available, like the government funding things for all sorts of exploitation and destruction and violence and harm in many industries, and that some of those billions and trillions of dollars could be provided to the local small dairy farms so that they could transition into another lucrative business, you know, perhaps industrial hemp or anything with all the availability of the vegan milk products.
Absolutely. What was amazing to me was to hear that even in my mindfulness program, where we are supposed to be the teachers of compassion. And I was, hearing various accounts of future teachers justifying humane killing concepts that was blowing my mind. And that was a huge inspiration to create this project. And I have seen various accounts of farms being converted to, continue to be profitable, for instance, growing mushrooms, growing other options that does not involve suffering and cruelty.
Thank you, Priya. Thank you for your noble work. Thank you so much. What information can you leave for our listeners to contact you and learn more about your webisode series, the documentary film, Do No Harm?
So I have a crowdfunding campaign that is live for a few more weeks on Seed and Spark. And you can go there by going to seedandspark.com /fund/do-no-harm. And I can be found on Instagram as Priya Acharya or Vegan Priya. I'd love to hear from the vegan community.
Priya, could you please explain the reasoning why dairy consumption and dairy sales is harmful?
Certainly. Part of what I have experienced from going to India, including being at temples and seeing the harm right there at temples, I can clearly say there is no scenario where there isn't harm happening with the consumption of milk. Because there are basic premises of the fact that the milk is for the babies, just like with any species, including humans. And there is no scenario in which the cow is producing this milk for any other reason than for her child. So there's no excess milk, for instance, that humans are taking above and beyond what the calf needs. I have stood there and watched the entire milking process at a temple of all places from start to finish, where the calf was pulled away from mom. Sometimes, it is done deliberately where the it's like a trick where the calf is allowed to go to mom. Mom sees her baby and releases her milk. And the calf is only allowed sometimes to nurse just enough to have it released. And then the calf is yanked away while the milking continues for humans. While the calf is being held away, sometimes being hit, as it naturally keeps trying to go back to the udders to drink milk as their birthright. So there really, it's just a very basic, simple equation. The milk is for the babies, just like any species. The cows are not made to produce extra milk for anyone else than their babies. And then I've witnessed a dead calf, you know, that had been allowed to just starve as a male calf. I have watched the calves running to mom as moms were calling, being pulled away. I watched various little baby calves that were just born, tied away, one under a temple that is on the trailer, and another one that is also on the trailer that got tied down as it was going to mom and was probably going to be the next that was going to be starved to death and had just been born. So there is just no ahimsa milk. It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like humane killing. It's a paradox. There is no scenario where it's okay. Whatever milk we're consuming is the milk that was meant for the baby calf. And any milk we have is encouraging and participating this industry and the, creating the demand to continue to have this practice. There's no benefit for us. So it's very irrational on many levels. We're continuing to steal the milk that's not meant for us. It doesn't support us or the planet and is very inhumane.
Thank you, Priya. And can you share an idea or a recipe of a traditional Indian dish that you have veganized?
Oh, certainly. So one of my challenges becoming vegan is that I grew up loving, you know, yogurt and having it with all of my Indian food. And I felt like, well, what am I going to do without plain yogurt? And so that was the first thing that I veganized and was, you know, a huge victory that I could have plain yogurt. And so I just used soy milk in the Instant Pot, and it was very easy just taking cultured vegan yogurt as a starter and mixing in soy milk. I use West Soy, which is a more pure brand. And so you want to have as pure of a brand if you want soy yogurt. And then I just mix that up in the Instant Pot on the yogurt setting. And I just, to make it a little more tart, I put it in for 16 hours to have delicious, very easy vegan soy yogurt. And what I want to venture out more into is just, you know, similar processes with making veganized, traditionally dairy, Indian desserts is what I would like to explore making more.
Wonderful. Thank you, Priya.
Thank you, Marlene.
Could you talk a little bit more about that, of the process of what happens to dairy cows after they've been, what they call them, spent mothers, after they're no longer being milked?
Absolutely. Yes, there is no disconnection between dairy and the beef industry. The dairy industry feeds into the beef industry. And I used to think that, you know, it was just happening in the U.S. Like, surely it must be different in India. But I did research and found that that is not the case, and that cows are smuggled from the States, where slaughter is not allowed, to be sent to slaughterhouses in different states where it is allowed. And in India, buffaloes are not immune from slaughter. So there's a distinction made between buffaloes and cows. So the cows are what I see on the streets. And the truth is that they've been abandoned. So they're just left out there. And I have taken footage of cows that were rummaging through trash bins. And then I watched as the cow was hit by every level of society, you know, first by kids, then by a woman, then a man. And it just kept walking like it was used to this until it was out of sight. I took the footage. And it was so sad, you know, like these are not holy, revered cows. And I watched as these cows were struggling to get trash from the bins. First of all, there was hardly, you know, any trash there at that time for them to even get. But while when it got into a plastic bag and tried to get something, then I think it was a street cleaner. He started hitting on it because the cows were apparently in the way for him, and he was trying to get rid of them. And I thought, wow, like they're not even allowed to try to get trash. But one thing people may not be aware of is that they consume these plastic bags That kills them. I have seen a lot of footage on cows dying from that because they can't be consuming plastic. That damages their organs and it's not food. So kills them. I don't think I saw a single buffalo. I saw cows every single day, many of them, for 3 weeks. The reason I didn't see the buffaloes is because they're slaughtered. And this is something that many Indians don't understand. And it becomes like what you don't see, you know, becomes something you're not aware of, right? You don't see the buffaloes being slaughtered, or why do you not see any of the buffaloes, even though, for instance, my mom got buffalo milk delivered every day. And many of much of the milk used is from buffaloes. So it's, again, something people aren't aware of. They don't see the buffaloes. They don't see the slaughter, but that happens. And that is the fate of the dairy industry, is all of the cows, not just the babies, not just the male calf, but once the mother cows are spent, which happens very quickly, they definitely don't get to live out their life as long as it can be naturally. They are then sent to slaughter once they're not productive. So they're just commodities. So it's not just the babies. And so this was something I was not aware of as a vegetarian, that every, you know, glass of milk I was having was contributing to the death of all of these calves and their moms. But then learning that it's also happening in India. And India, you know, is the largest dairy producer in the world. And so this was another impetus for me to work on this project, because I'm an Indian who has grown up in the U.S. I feel like I'm a perfect candidate to talk about my experience, my story as an Indian, and my own conflict with being a Hindu mindfulness teacher on top of that, and not wanting to be a part of harm. And that was one level, but I felt like I had to go beyond that by creating awareness. And I want to be able to show all of that as part of solutions in this documentary series.
Thank you, Priya. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a good day. Earlier in the program, we heard The Pig Song by Will Tuttle. Let's go out with The Calf Song, followed by The Cow Song.